Blog Talk Radio.
No reason to talk over top of that lady when she feels it's such an important process for her to say those words. I've tried to turn that off a few times, but we'll find it. Now, back to the point. Thank you for following with us in this last 2 months. This has been a very, very interesting journey, but I am telling you, there is coming a promotion. There is a blessing. There is a deal that's happening. Not getting ready to happen. It's happening. I can't see the whole picture in my eye to understand it, but I got it in here. God is moving in us and through us. And my prayer has been every one of our gifts, talents, and ability will come alive. Some of you on YouTube and Facebook have been sitting here in your house saying, I really need to help this preacher do what he's doing. Some of you, that's money. God said, sow some money. Then that helps us preach to more people. Some of you, it's your time. You have an expertise that can help me on the internet, in the computer. Some of you, it's prayer and faith. You speak in boldly, faith and prayer, whenever he brings it to you. It doesn't matter what it is. Even if you say, I don't know how to do that. God is never going to give you something that you completely understand. Why? Because then it doesn't take any faith, and everything in God takes faith.
Everything in God.
That's why. Oral Roberts University, Brother Roberts said, the only thing it costs to build this university is faith. Brother Hagin picked up on that and said, there is no inflation around the world in the kingdom. Just thought I'd let that soak in. You mean if we're in the kingdom, there's no inflation? No. Why? Because in the kingdom, it operates by faith. And faith is faith is faith is faith wherever faith is faith. So whether it was, ready for this? David stockpiling money and natural resources to build the temple. What's that, 4,000 years ago? Or it's you and I today going on a radio station in Kansas City, or Andrew Womack, $18 million just to build a parking garage. My goodness sakes alive. But see, none of that is important because it's just faith. It's just faith. I'm going to prophesy something to some of you right now. It's going to stretch you. But just listen, don't judge unjustly. There are going to be ministries that own 747 jets. Now listen to me. Please don't turn me off.
When the world's a ministry need a 747 jet time?
Because they have a church of 10,000 people and they want to go on a mission trip and they're going to fill their own 747 jet full of the people from their church and take 350 people of them to a mission trip somewhere and build a whole house and church building and do everything while they're gone. And what do? They brought their whole team with them and landed there. Yeah. What does God care about jets?
Amen.
See, this isn't a message about money today, but you got to get this. I had a guy call me yesterday in the truck and start screaming at me because a pastor paved the parking lot of his church. This guy is, we picked him up in a lift car once.
Really?
Yes, and he called me, and he's screaming about this church paving their parking lot. I'm like, do you know what the pavement is in heaven? Yeah, it's gold. I'm like, dude, I told him, just shut up.
He didn't want his driveway paved, or what?
I don't know, it was weird, but anyways. What people miss in all of this is, well, you know how many hungry people you could feed with the price of that jet? Yeah. Do you know how many people they can fly in that jet to that place and set up a whole ministry in one day?
Amen.
You know how many hungry people they're going to feed there?
Yeah.
They're going to transform 10,000, 25,000, 100,000 lives.
Yeah.
Now, this is not my message. The title of my message is Just Get to Know God. The reason people stumble over money is they don't know God. God don't care about money. His pavement is gold.
Yeah.
He needs you and I to quit tripping over money.
Right.
So we can finally get something done. You know one of the biggest places the church trips over money? This is huge. And they miss one of the greatest opportunities to miss to some of the most important people in our nation. They miss it because they won't build the truck stop. And they won't build a parking lot big enough that a guy could bring his semi and park it there and go to church when he's not home to go to his own church and he's in his job. America runs on trucks. The truck stop, America stops. Well, Pastor, do you know how much it would cost to build a parking lot that a semi could park in? I know. God doesn't want the truck drivers to be able to go to church on Sunday anywhere, does he? See what's happening? We're tripping over money and not getting the gospel preached because we're tripping over money. And who sent us the stumbling block? Jesus? Jesus did not send that stumbling block. Well, so that was all intro. No, honestly, this, please don't turn me off. I'm not asking you for an offering. Just listen to me. This is the question you got to continually ask. Why did the Holy Spirit put those verses in that Bible about financial things? Why did he do it? Why did the Holy Spirit? See, you're tripping over money. There's a bunch of you that's listening to me. You're tripping over money. Stop it. Why did God cause Nehemiah to be sad in the king's court? You remember? What's wrong with you? No. Nehemiah's sad, and the king's like, Nehemiah, you've never been sad yet. What's your dude? He's like, because my homeland is broken down. You know what the king said? Well, go back and put in a couple dirt driveways, and I hope you make it. No, you know what the king said? Go. I'm going to give you gold, silver, timber, and everything you need. Tell all them people, here's my thing. You build it back. You take my money and build it back. See, why did the Holy Spirit put those words in the Bible? You're going to be judged by that someday. No. See, that's a bad attitude. Change it so you can grow. God is the one that put every verse in this Bible. Holy men spoke as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and then holy men, whether you agree with them or not, put this book together and created 66 books. And then holy men created a printing press so that the words of the holy men when they wrote it and the words of the holy men when they made the canon can get in a piece of paper so holy men and women can read this book. All of it empowered by the Holy Spirit. And yet we take certain verses and certain doctrines of the whole Bible and say, look at the look on your face. It tells you, you don't know what you're talking about. How much money has God spent around the world? Billions of dollars. Wait, man didn't spend it. God spent it. Said, put my Bible in every corner of the earth. Thank God for Tyndale. Thank God for the Gideons. Everybody say, God bless the Gideons. The Gideons have put the word of God out over and over and over and over and over. You know what? Think about it. Every one of them men who are businessmen, because most Gideons are businessmen, every one of them men spend their money putting Bibles into people's hands. Guess what happens to all their businesses? They flourish. Why? Because they're not even preaching the word. They're just saying, let me give you a Bible. And God's in heaven going, woo! And that was all introduction.
Good word.
You know, that was so strange yesterday. I'm driving along, everything's going good. I'm like, wow, this is a good day. This thing's really happening, you know. And my phone rings, and I'm like, I do not know that name, but it's got somebody's name in it. I'm like, how do I know this guy? But I don't know. I've met a lot of guys in the oil field now, and I'm like, well, I don't remember who that is, so I better answer it. So I answered. This is what the guy said. I'm picking my friend up tomorrow. I'm taking him to church, and he's getting healed. He's paralyzed.
Wow.
I'm like, how do you know me? And do you realize that you calling me as I'm going to put my faith with it, and he might be healed right now? And he starts cursing. And I'm like, dude, stop it. So I hung the phone up. He called back. He said, evidently we got disconnected. I'm like, no, we didn't. I ain't going to talk to you on the phone if you're going to use the F word to me. What is wrong with you? If you're trying to take somebody to go to church and get them healed, you should probably stop using the F word. I mean, God's going to use your faith if you got some, but my goodness sakes alive. And I'm like, listen, just stop talking for a minute. And he tells me what city he's in. I'm like, why don't you take your friend to this church in that city because they believe in healing? And the dude went up. He goes, that's exactly where I'm going tomorrow. How did you know that? I'm going there and I'm going to stand up right in the middle of that service and I'm going to rebuke these people because they paved their parking lot. I'm thinking, how in the world did I get this phone call? All right. And now I'm angry. I'm like, you don't know your Bible. I hung the phone up. He called me back. This guy was determined.
He was determined to share with you.
I said, I picked him up in the lift car is what happened. And somewhere he took my number down.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, what was he stumbling over? The fact that God gave that church enough money to pay the parking lot. You know what that church does? That church sponsors 15 or 20 missionaries around the world. That church has a ministry outreach to the men working in the oil field. That's right here, they're in North Dakota. That church has a huge children's ministry and youth ministry and young. It's like, well, why wouldn't God pave a parking lot when you got North Dakota clay where everybody gets stuck and they're having to pull each other out when put some pavement down. That's it. They pave everything around here. What's the whole point of what I'm saying? Stop stumbling. Jesus is a stumbling stone to those who will not learn from him. But the enemy's putting those stones in and saying, see, you can't trust them. They're all about money. You know what would be interesting? Somebody study it.
Somebody
study how many billions of dollars Billy Graham spent for every crusade throughout the whole time of his ministry. That'll flip them out because he's their hero.
And if they want to be angry about somebody having money, be angry at the drug dealers and the pimps that have the money. Go after them. Leave the righteous people alone.
Anyways.
And, yeah.
So that is not a message. But welcome to 1 hour of faith, which is now about 42 minutes left. You're going to hear me say this introduction often because the Holy Spirit inspired every verse in this Bible. The Holy Spirit did. Why? Ask yourself the question, why, and then say to yourself, when I stand before Jesus someday, he's going to ask me what I did with this book. You know what that means? You got to stop stumbling over the major doctrines of this book so that when you stand in front of Jesus, you will actually have something left to gain a crown to lay before his feet on that day when we do that.
Amen.
You mean, Pastor, I was raised in it. It doesn't matter what you was raised in. The guy yesterday on the phone is like, my mom wasn't married when I was born, and she was Catholic, and the father was Presbyterian, so we went to a Lutheran church. I'm like, oh, dude, you just all messed up. You don't even know what to think. This is what you think. Listen to me. I'm not against any church. There's Christian. They're going to be believers in every church in them. Open this book. Look at today's title. Just get to know God. But you ain't going to get to know him by listening to preachers. You're going to get to know him because you open this book. I'm a preacher, and I just said you're not going to get to know him listening to me. When you get done listening to me, you got to write those verses down and say, what did that guy just say? Why did he say it? Now let me go check and see if it's real.
Amen.
Do you know the Bible tells you to check and see?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
I'm really trying to get to my verses. I got a great set of verses. Acts chapter 17. This is not my verse, but I'm going to add it. Let me say it differently. This is not a verse in my notes, but this is a verse in the Holy Spirit's notes. I don't even know who all is with me today. I just know this. If you'll stop stumbling over this word and stop making your church or how you was raised the big thing in your life, and you make this book the big thing in your life, the confusions of your growing up years will go away. The limitations of our enemy through a spirit of religion will be destroyed, and this book will come alive in your life in a way you've never seen it before, and you'll be like,
oh,
I'm preaching better than you're saying amen right now. Acts 17:10-15. And then we're going to preach in the next 35 minutes. We're going to preach about hold on. I got to get my list. Well, that ain't the list. Where did it go? Nicodemus, Zacchaeus, Peter, woman at the well, and the Philippian jailer. Well, this is going to turn into a series. I can see it right now. It's going to be a good series. And the Roman centurion. I did not spell that word right. Acts 17. Hold your Bible up. Let's make our confession. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I
am what Jesus says I am. Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
And I am living in him. The Holy Spirit of God. Is making this word come alive.
Is making this word come
in
alive.
My life today.
In my life
today. I receive the word of God.
I receive the word of God.
And plant him as a seed.
And plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
Producing a hundredfold return.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Here we go. Acts chapter 17. Look at this. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. What happened? Oh, they went into the city, and they got beat up. Remember the Philippi, the jailer got saved, and all that. We're going to tell that story in a minute. But they had to flee because these people were so serious about it, they were killing them and beating them up. All right? To Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. So they left one place making a mess and went right into another and said, now you guys are following the wrong spirit. Now look at verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. Say this, readiness.
Readiness.
That's not just joy. That means, wow, I didn't know the Bible said that. Seriously? Yeah. Yeah, seriously. I remember when I first started coming to the understanding of the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit language of praying in the Holy Spirit. And I sent that letter to the great Amway distributor. It was a friend of mine. And I'm like, what about it, Jerry? And he goes, obviously you haven't read your Bible.
Well, there was a
slip. I'm like, well, who in the world do you think? And then, you know, that's back before the days of texting and everything. He sent it to me in a letter in the mail. Yeah, I'm old enough to be there. And I'm like, well, who do you think you are telling me I don't read my Bible? But it was true. He said, read your Bible and do what it says. This was 1987 or 88. So I read the Bible, and guess what the Bible says? Every one of the disciples, Mary, the mother of Jesus, all of the women that followed Jesus, all 120 of them, people that walked with Jesus every day, were in the upper room and got the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Oh, Jesus, Pastor, are you on that subject now? Yeah, you know why? See, you're tripping over it. Don't trip. Open up the Bible and say, wait, I don't know who's here. So I don't see these two names, Bill and Petunia. It doesn't matter whether your name is William or Petunia. Look yourself in the mirror and say, stop resisting the Bible. Just believe what's written. When Jerry told me that about, why don't you read your Bible? I want you to get this. Within 5 days, I said, well, this is real. I just don't understand it. And you know what happened? I'm like the Bereans. I received the word with readiness and, well, wait a minute, it's in the Bible. I don't know why I'm resisting it. And I don't know who told me to resist it. If I ain't resisting another day, I can see it. It's all the way through the book of Acts. You know what I did? Well, I receive it. Bam! Your life explodes with revelation and say, I receive you, Holy Spirit
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
You know, you guys don't hear me pray in tongues a lot on here because
you've got words to speak.
Well, when I ask somebody else to pray, if I start talking, I'm going to overcome their prayer. So I end up praying in the Spirit quietly, but it's not because I'm ashamed of it. That's one of the greatest things that ever happened to you, is the ability to pray in your heavenly language. Sister Sunday was sharing with us before we got started that she prays in her heavenly language all the time for a lot of people, and that her TV wasn't working, the sound. God said, why don't you speak to it? So she did, prayed in the heavenly language and then spoke to it. And guess what? It all started working. You mean it actually works that way? Yeah, it actually works that way. Oh, can tell it's been too long since I've been preaching because I got like this fountain of living water springing up out of my innermost being trying to find the flood stage. Here we go. I'm in Acts 17:11. Look at this. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. Receive it, even if it proves that you're wrong. Well, you know what? That's a bad thing to say, because it ain't going to prove you're wrong.
Right.
It's just going to show you this is what you should be believing. And if everything you've studied up to now has got you to the place where you are now, well, shout glory.
Woo!
Amen. Thank you. Brother Dan, Sister Kathy, you guys got a glory out there?
You're just a woo.
And search the scriptures. Thank you, Kathy. And search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. They didn't search the scriptures to find out if Peter was right, Paul was right, Apollos was right. You know, Fortuitivius, whatever his name was right, the daily philosopher of their time. They searched the Word of God and said, wait, does it really say that? And when they did, they're like, wow, it says it. Look what it says. Verse 12, therefore, many of them believe. There's a novel idea, just believe the Bible. And not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. Why? Because they received the word with readiness to believe. All they had to do was see it. Pastor, I don't have time to study the word. Turn off the stinking TV. Turn off the music. You're not going to be judged by how many Christian songs you listen to when you stand before Jesus. You're going to be judged by, do you know this book? There ain't nothing wrong with listening to Christian music. It's good if it's building you up, but it cannot be higher than the Word of God, because when you stand before Jesus, he's not going to say, can you only imagine? He can be like, it ain't about imagining. You're here. What did you do with my word? Did you just believe? Woo! I'm preaching really good. Pastor, who are you angry at? I'm not angry. I'm angry at the devil. I'm angry at confusion. I'm angry at error. I'm angry that people don't understand the difference between the leadership of the Holy Spirit and a religious spirit that causes you to go to church and never grow in God. That is not God. You've got to grow. Everybody's got to grow up in God. Speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up in everything in God, into him who is the head.
Amen.
Come on. Now watch this. Look at verse 13. Here's what happens. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there and stirred up them. Why? They're bound by a religious demon. These are the scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees. They are a religious organization that is founded in the law that God gave Moses. No different than the Mormons and the Muslims. Pastor, did you just say that? I did. If you believe that Satan is Jesus' brother,
oh my goodness,
you are listening to a deceiving, seducing, foul, reprobate spirit. I know some people are shuddering like, oh my goodness, what do I do now? Open the Bible and read what it actually says. 14. Immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea. But both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him, with all speed they departed. Now, what do you see? These people received the word of God with readiness. John chapter 3. I'm actually going to get to one verse. Okay? I'm actually going to get there. John chapter 3. And that's where I want you to go. Just hear me for this. John chapter 1. Jesus is seen as the Lamb of God. John the Baptist baptizes him. He begins his ministry. John chapter 2. His first time he did a public miracle was the wedding, was the Jesus turning the water into wine at a wedding, right? And Mary and the disciples were all there with him, right? And then after the water turned to wine, Jesus cleansed the temple. He went in there with a whip and said, I'm fixing to clean this up right here. So it'd be a good time to get out and he kicked some tables over. Quit trying to set the tables up that Jesus kicked over.
Amen.
Chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees. That's a religious organization. And that man's name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So this isn't just Brother Nick over here. This is a ruler of people. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. What does that mean? The Pharisees were talking about Jesus amongst themselves, and they were admitting that he was from God, and yet they weren't changing. Do you know what happens when you come to the revelation of who God is and then you don't change? You harden your own heart. You harden your own heart. And according to Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, you don't get to enter in. Because you're hardening your heart to get it. When you see the word, you don't have to grasp the understanding of it in one day, 1 hour. By faith, you say, I receive it. Now, open this book up and begin to study what it means.
Yeah, amen.
They weren't changing. Verse 3, Jesus said to him, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is like, tilt. How can a man be born when he's old? See, he's just got a natural brain. It doesn't make sense to him.
Yeah.
Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's looking at himself like, I'm a pretty big dude right now. Especially Pharisees. They were probably fat because they just sat around and studied the Bible and never went out and did any work. I was just testing to see if that was mean or not, but it's just the truth. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to them, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? What is Jesus doing? He's looking at him saying, dude, you are a teacher. How can you not know this? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. And you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe him, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That was pretty exciting. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man is lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life.
Hallelujah.
God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I ain't condemning nobody today. I'm encouraging you, quit following religious dogma and doctrine that has no foundation in God's holy word. I know what you're going to say, but I'm not a biblical scholar. How will I ever know? Open up this book and just believe what it says. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Go online, BibleGateway.com. It's that easy. Type in Holy Spirit in their search panel in any one of the translations. And then there'll be another little box there somewhere where you can click New Testament. And every time the word Holy Spirit is written in the New Testament, you'll be able to see it. And now, only thing that's left for you is not a college degree, not a Sunday school class, not a position at a church. The only things left is to just read what it says and believe it.
Amen.
If you will read every verse in the New Testament that has the words Holy Spirit in it, you'll read them. You will know exactly who the Holy Spirit is.
And you will gain knowledge.
And you will come to it.
Yeah.
Now here's the deal. 95 verses in the New Testament have the word Holy Spirit as a phrase in it. The word Holy Spirit. 95 verses. 200 times in the 95 verses, Holy Spirit is used. So almost twice. Well, it is twice in every verse. What are you saying, Pastor? Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews biblically, spiritually, and could not understand what Jesus was saying. Now, wait, don't condemn him, because at least he was coming. Even though it was at night, because he was afraid to lose his position. Because that was his job. And he was too, you know. The one guy said to me, well, I'm not called to preach. I'm just too lazy to dig a ditch. I figured I'd be a preacher. What am I saying? Get to know God. Thank God for your Baptist church, your Lutheran church, your Episcopal church, your whatever, the first church of the signs, wonders, miracles, and holy fire. It don't matter what church it is. What does this book say? Just like the believers there, Bereans, write down the verse references and go home and check them out. I got a sword. I got, amen, Kathy. God wants you to use this book as a weapon. His word is a weapon. When you get this revelation, it's going to transform every part of your life. And there'll be no more confusion about who God is. Now, as you can see, the time has quickly fleeted away. It's like a little bird. Did you hear it? Actually, to me, it feels more like the Roadrunner. Yeah, Eastward, that's right. I got Eastward. Now, the reason I'm saying this is in the end times, the number one factor that's going to help everybody walk with God is you figuring out how to use this book. Because now that we have Facebook, YouTube, and 87 other platforms, there's going to be 10,000 people that will believe any of the doctrine that's being put out there. Mm-hmm. So you can't just look at it and say, well, there's 10,000 people at that church. They believe that. You can't do that anymore. You have to open up this book and say, are that 10,000 people going astray or what we got going on here? And that's why you got to find a teacher like me, a preacher like me, a pastor like me that says, wait a minute. I double dog dare you to write my verses down and go see what they say. Why? Because I am that confident in what I know about God. If you read this book and you just read the verses with an open mind saying, Holy Spirit, you live in me. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit's in you. Illuminate my mind to understand this. He'll lead you. Now, the challenge is, will you let him lead you where he wants you to be? And I heard somebody right there say, well, Pastor, I'll let God lead me anywhere, but I ain't talking in tongues like you crazy people. See, you got the wrong opinion. It's the crazy people that's wrong, not us. All they did was watch somebody speak in tongues and fall down on the floor and shake and rattle and roll. So they're trying to imitate it to get that same thing. They're just confused, but God still loves them just as much as he loves the guy that's out there today. And he's with a prostitute, and he knows he's wrong, but he's going to get his life right. God loves everybody. But that doesn't give you permission to not study what that doctrine means. It doesn't say, I messed it up so I don't have to study that doctrine. Because you're going to stand in front of Jesus, and he's going to remind you of this picture of Pastor Sam holding his Bible up saying, you've got to get to know this book, because this book is Jesus. He is the living word. That's what this book is. This book, not every page, because I got a lot of helpful Bible list in this book, in this Bible.
And stuff.
Well, yeah, and then a few pieces of paper and a card, and, you know, I got something from just about every one of you that communicate with us, because I put it in my Bible and carry it with me and pray over it. That's how I do it. This book is what you're going to be judged by. Yeah, but Pastor, our dear brother John pastored our church now before the mighty man of God. But did he know how to use the book? I'm not questioning his spirituality.
Come closer to God through that.
Is your righteousness stacked up in Brother Bill or Brother John? Uh-uh. He's a good leader. He showed you a life of righteousness. He showed you to walk with God. But the preachers have got to start saying, you better figure out who's in this book. And his name is God, and he is your father, and Jesus is your older brother, and the Holy Spirit is your empowerment, and all three of them live on the inside of you, leading you from the inside out. I know that's a doctrine you're not used to. But this preacher's going to keep saying it until all of a sudden you're like, all right, hold on. You're going to sit down at the supper table and say, okay, that's it. Pastor Sam has pushed me over the edge, and I am going to now figure out what this Bible says. Tell the family, let's sit down here. Let's just see if what he says is actually true. Do it. You ain't going to offend me.
Please.
I beg of you, will you do it? Why? Because all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. Not only is the Word of God a weapon, it's also a tool. Not just my weapon to fight the enemy, but it's a tool to make my life work. It's a wrench. I like Brother Jerry Savelle's story. He said, Kenneth Copeland used the Word of God like a wrench to fix every part of your life. And it did. Brother Jerry was nothing but a paint and body shop guy going to race cars and ride motorcycles. All he was ever going to do. And today, he has Bible colleges. He has Bible colleges in like eight nations. Just an old paint and body shop guy. Why? Because he opened up this book and said, what's it? Well, I'll tell this story.
I was going to say, tell that story.
Because his story is amazing. He owned a paint and body shop. God said, all right, it's time for you to go preach, sell your business, and study the Word of God for 8 hours a day. If you do, I'll bless you. What? He sold his business, went to every creditor and said, I'll pay you, but I'm done with this business. I'm going to go preach. And they're all like, really? And then get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, at 7 o'clock, he was in the spare bedroom. He studied the Word for 8 hours a day, sometimes 10 or 12. And he did it like that for 6 weeks or 8 weeks, whatever it was, three months. God took care of him the whole time. What did he end up with? He actually believed what the Bible said. And he went from a paint and body shop guy that would have just been a good old Brother Jerry, got fast cars and can fix your car, to a man who now has a museum that he has totally emptied and given away five times in his lifetime, and God filled it right back up as an example for every one of us. Don't worship Jerry. He'll kick you right in the nose if you bow down to worship him. Look at him and say, man, what that guy's doing is working. You don't have to want a museum. How many of you don't want a museum of old cars?
I don't.
See how weird you are? I do. I would love it. No, what's the point? He sat down with this book and said, I'm going to figure out what God said. Pastor, I don't know how to use all this technology, okay? That's good. Can you get me the Strong's book over there? Third shelf up on the left side. Then I'm going to give you another assignment, because some of you are like, I don't know how to use that technology stuff. This is called the Strong's Complete Dictionary of Bible Words. Usually this book is about this much bigger and about this much wider. Mr. Strong's, that's a man's name, paid his Bible college students to count and write reference points every word in the new in the King James Version, how many times it was written. So when you get a big Strong's full concordance book, it's about this wide, it's about this tall, probably 18 inches, maybe a foot tall, and about 12 inches wide, maybe. And it literally will list every time the word "and" is used in the Bible. And it's all in one book. So if you don't like this, which is really simple, you can go online and buy a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. And you can see it in print. And you can go down. Every time the word Holy Spirit is used, you can read it. Every time the word healing is used, you can read it. Every time the word redemption is used, you can read it. And this is what I know. The Holy Spirit inspired every word in this book. Those holy men of God were writing all the way from Moses to John the Apostle with the book of Revelation. So they were being inspired by the Holy Spirit when they wrote it. Now, the next group of guys who made the canon of the scripture, they're the ones that were inspired by God to put it together and say, this is the Holy Bible. Any book that's in this Bible's got to reach this level. That's called the canon. Pastor, why would they name it a gun? It's not a gun. Don't worry about that. You can't study that right now. Then, so you got the Holy Spirit inspired the guy to read it. You got the Holy Spirit that inspired the guys to put it together. Now you have the Holy Spirit inspiring the men to print it. And then to print it so it could get to the common man's language. All of those layers of people are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Those of us who preach the Word of God are supposed to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to bring you the message like you need to hear it. And we are given a responsibility in God to not follow a religious spirit. I did. I certainly did. To just go to this book. I quit following religious spirits the day I said, you know what, that's it. I'm going to open the Bible and I'm just going to straight up believe what it says. Now, we'll type it in there. Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. They say that they put 100,000 hours between him and his staff writing this book. And you can find it online. You can find it in BibleGateway.com. You can find it at eBay. And it'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. I encourage you to get to know the God of the Bible. I'm not against your Baptist church. You ain't going to be able to stand in front of Jesus and say, well, Jesus, I want you to come to a Baptist church right over there on First Street. He's going to say, but did you learn anything from my word? Well, no, but we had spaghetti dinner every Thursday night. Aren't you proud of us? We raised money and sent it to the missionaries. Well, yeah, I'm proud of you to send a ministry, but do you know the Bible? Am I going to go to hell if I don't know the Bible? I'm so glad that doctrine is so evident of how stupid it is. Trying to be a Christian, and so I'm going to say, well, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. Wait, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but if you don't do that, you go to hell. No, you're led by a foul religious spirit telling me that. I'm working every day to go to heaven. So no, I'm not going to hell. Deep breath. Shh. Open the book and believe it. Because all of a sudden you'll tell everybody around you, well, I know that's what churchianity says, but that ain't what the Bible says. And they'll be like, can't believe you just said that. Well, open up your Bible and you'll see why I just said that. You will. You see, then you won't have any pet doctrine. Well, this is my doctrine. My doctrine is prosperity. My doctrine is speaking in tongues. I can speak it in seven different dialects. See what you're doing? You're building a doctrine out of something that's in the Bible, but you're not letting it all come together to give you strength to do what God wants you to do. Thank God for prosperity. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for tongues. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the fivefold ministry. Thank God for the ministry of helps. Thank God for the nine gifts of the Spirit, the five gifts of the Son, and the seven gifts of the Father. Thank God for the fruit of the Spirit. It's all important. And our challenge is that we actually believe it in Jesus' mighty name. Think about Nicodemus. When he left Jesus, he's like, what do I do now? I've never studied Nicodemus's life, but I'm pretty sure that Nicodemus went out and actually believed in God and actually walked with him.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the Pharisees turned and began to follow Jesus because Jesus' word was setting them free in their life in Jesus' mighty name. Some of you, I it's interesting. I can see that you're listening to this program and you have cancer. Cancer, I rebuke you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, as a man of God, as a minister of reconciliation, as an apostle, as a pastor. I rebuke you as a minister of reconciliation, as a believer. The same spirit that anointed Jesus has anointed me. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil and cancer. You're oppressing this lady and many others that are listening to me with cancer, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get off of her body.
Amen.
You leave my friend Joanne alone. Get off. Life and life more abundantly come into your life right now. In the name of Jesus. If you'll just reach out and receive that prayer I just prayed, it doesn't matter what your name is or what you're fighting, there is victory. I can feel it flowing out of me. People are like, oh, that's weird. No. It's the same thing Jesus said about the woman with the issue of blood. I felt virtue leave me. Are you saying you're virtuous? I'm saying I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I'm not the Christ, but virtue exists in me because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live within me. Did you just get that revelation? It's not me that's doing this. It's the God that's in me that just prayed that prayer. And there's going to be a whole bunch of people that have a testimony saying, wow, I experienced it. It was going all over me. I was talking with my daughter and son-in-law yesterday. We were talking about people calling in from Sister Nancy Dufresne's program they've been doing. And just having amazing miracles happen.
Hallelujah.
She's just teaching the word. Like, she can't even lay hands on anybody. She can just speak the word, and then I pray for you in Jesus' name. And then people are just sending in the most amazing testimonies of what they're being healed from. And they were saying, my daughter actually put together the whole prayer ministry for that, for them people. And she's in charge of it. And she's like, man, people call in. She said, you can just tell, Dad, they're doing backflips over there. They're just like, wah! Why? Because they got healed. Jesus actually heals today.
Amen.
Don't put up with the devil beating you down in any way. Crush that stupid demon's head under your foot. It's not, why don't you just get over it and move on? No, why don't you crush it and then you don't have to worry about it? I don't even understand that doctrine, Pastor. Send an email, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. Go to Facebook. Send me a messenger. Go on YouTube. Put a message. I see every message everybody types in YouTube. They send it right to my page. Ask me a question. We'll bring it right on here and teach a lesson. So, today's whole message, and I got lots more people. I got Peter, woman at the well, the Philippian jailer. I got the Roman centurion. We got a lot of preaching we got to do on this subject yet, so this will be a series for us, and it's going to be a great series. What is it? Just Get to Know God series. Just get to know God. And you love me. Ready? Let's pray. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I receive your holy word.
I receive your holy word.
Filled with life.
Filled with life.
I'm slowing down. For me and my family.
For me and my family.
For me and my family. I was first. I'm slowing down.
I know that you are changing me.
That you are changing
me.
And I love it.
And I love it.
I want to look just like the Word of God.
Amen.
I want to look just like the Word of God.
And I receive it in Jesus' mighty name.
And I receive it in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 And amen and amen and amen. You know, this when a preacher is preaching like I just did, you get all fired up because you're like, you can see the revelation is just flowing. Just the greatest revelation you're ever going to learn from me is open up my Bible and believe what the Bible says. Because when you get to heaven, Jesus isn't going to ask you what Sam said. Pastor Samuel J. Cottle, what did he say? I don't know. He's going to say, what did my word say? He was my servant speaking to you the simplicity of my word, but did you go open the book and actually see what it says? That's when my life changed. When Brother Jerry sent me that letter and said, well, it's obvious you haven't read your Bible, I'm like, I was offended a little bit. Well, how do you be offended in a guy who sent you a letter in the mail? You know, I mean, you can't be offended at him. And he was one of the nicest men you ever met, and rich. He was a rich man, but he was a pot. You know what happened? First time I met him, opened up his briefcase. He was a businessman, so he carried a briefcase. You know the only thing in his briefcase? Was a Bible this big.
Wow.
It was the only thing in his briefcase. And you know what? It wasn't a beautiful, just-bought Bible so he could make us view. That baby was worn. The pages was worn. The leather was worn. You know what that means? That means he went to a garage sale and found someone somewhere so he could put it in his briefcase. No, that meant the man read the Bible.
Amen.
That man read the Bible. That's why he could look at me and say, you haven't read your Bible, have you? And I had to say, no. But the next time I saw him, you know what I said? I read my Bible. He goes, it makes sense, doesn't it? I'm like, isn't that something? He goes, if we could just get people to just read their Bible, it would make sense. In the name of Jesus. All right. Oh, I've just gone to preaching again. It's time for us to do communion. Those of you who are at home, I encourage you right now, get your communion elements available. Get you some grape juice and bread. And we're going to speak the word. It's the word of communion. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation, the prayer of rededication, the prayer of just, hallelujah, I'm a child of God. Then we'll bless the elements, and then we'll receive them together. It'll take us about another 12, 21. It's going to take us 9 minutes. Ready? Here we go. 1 Corinthians, here we go. Now what? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. He had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This is Jesus, the Last Supper. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. That means Jesus told us to do it often. That's not Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving. That's not often. You know, there's no definition of often. Whether it's once a day, once a week, once a month, or once at every meal. Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the redemptive work of God, his death, burial, his resurrection. There, verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 17. Love, God's love, has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, Jesus, right now, so are we in this world. As he, God, is, Jesus is right now, so are we in this earth. He's the head, we're the body. Watch this. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. So if you have fear and torment and you're meditating in it, you're not in God. Because the perfect love of God casts out all fear, trauma, and torment. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, you ready? Jesus took all of the sacrifices of the Old Testament and put it in a piece of bread and a glass of juice. And that's what this is all about. Let's pray the prayer of salvation, the prayer of rededication, or just the prayer of hallelujah, I'm a child of God. Ready? Pray it with me. I'll say it. Everybody say it with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life.
I know I need you in my life.
And according to John 3:16. When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting love.
And I will not perish.
I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again just for me.
And you rose again just for me.
Put your hands out and just say it. I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life with all of the fullness of God. With all of the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit. So I live in power.
I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life
as a
believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, on the inside, you might be saying, wow, Pastor, what was that all about? All of God just filled your life. God just filled you with all of God. He just filled you with himself. Lust feels amazing. It is. It's not a feeling. It's an experience. Your being is actually being taken back to what Adam and Eve were in the garden when their spirit was alive. God said, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. Well, they didn't die. They lived to be 900 years old. They lived a long time. But their spirit man lost that communication with God.
Yeah.
And that's what just got restored with you. Now, your responsibility from this day forward is to walk with God. Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, just came and lived in you. The light of the world, it now fills you. All of his grace, mercy, love, and righteousness just filled you because you said, I receive it. You'll be like, wow, that's a pretty good deal, Pastor. It's a really good deal. Change your life forever. Now, from this day forward, you walk with God every day. That's what you do. I don't know how to do that. Well, we do know how to do that. So stick with us. If you just send me $79.95 every month, that'll be guaranteed. Your life will change forever. No, see, that's not true. You stick with us. It ain't about no money. You stick with us as we teach you this word in your life. Will radically change whether you ever send a penny here or not. It's awesome about the way we live. Cost a penny. Well, it cost a little bit for me to send this to you. But if there ain't no charge, then there ain't no reason not to know the truth and walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
My email address and website's right down there in the notes of this program. I encourage you to get in contact with me and I will help you walk with God. I got hundreds of videos I can send you to study. The challenge is, will you shut down the rest of the world and the rest of this stuff that's vying for your attention and say, no, I'm going to study the word of God and grow in God. So I guarantee you, you'll grow and develop in God. In Jesus' mighty name. Ready? Let's pray. Let's receive communion elements. First thing we're going to do is we're going to bless them. Hold them up.
That's Ripley's communion.
That's Ripley's communion. Ripley, come and take communion, buddy. Ready? Here we go. Let's pray. Bless our elements. I bless these elements.
Bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
Spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. Your body was broken. And it made a way for all of us to find you. Now we lift up the cup of blessing. Say it with me. Thank God for the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, thank God for the blood of Jesus.
Those of you that's at home, you're welcome to kick your mic on if you want to. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of
I
Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment. Every day.
For my assignment every
by
day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Every plague has to pass
and
over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of
and
Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague
has to pass over.
Has to pass over. And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
Say it. No plagues.
No plagues.
No plagues.
No plagues.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of
the
Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren.
The accuser of the brethren.
Is cast down forever.
Is cast down
and
forever.
And there is no more condemnation.
And there's no more condemnation.
In my life.
In my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Let's sing.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood. Dear Jesus, thank you for your blood. Dear Jesus, it washes white as snow. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, let me say this real quick, and we'll be finished with this, and we'll be moving on to what we've got to do today. Now, take this YouTube video, click the share button, and share it with your Bible study group, share it with your brothers and your sisters, share it with anybody that you know who really wants to know God, because this is going to transform their life. Tell them to click like, tell them to click subscription, and hit the bell. Why? Then they'll be notified every time we come to the program. You can listen and listen and re-listen and re-listen to this message. Get the verses I said. Get to, I may not have given you the reference. You go find the reference. That's how you grow in God. That's how I grew in God. And then begin to search the word to see if it's really so. And your life will change forever and forever. Now, those of you on YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, we love you. We're glad to have you with us. And I really enjoyed being on Facebook and the close interactiveness of it, but they limit how many words you say. They don't care if you talk about perversion. They definitely care if you talk about God. So we're just over here on YouTube, Blog Talk Radio. And we'll share it back to Facebook so that anybody that's there can be blessed by it. Because we're going to put this word out where God's given us to put it out in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, which if it's not before then, it'll be tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central for our morning prayer time that we have every day, Monday through Friday. And we pray for each other. We pray for the nation. We pray for the world. We pray for the government. We pray for the United States of America. And we want you to be there with us. In Jesus' mighty name. Till we don't. Now, this is for Blog Talk Radio and YouTube. Till we see you again, this is what we want you to know. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
See you soon.